We're in the middle of a series in the book of Acts, so I'd love for you to join with us and read the book of Acts this summer. If you're new to Promised Land, we just started, so it's not too late. Jump in and read the book of Acts. It's an exciting book. It will build your faith. It will challenge you. It will impress you what God can do with people like you and me. So join with us. Today we're going to be in Acts, the 6th chapter and 7th chapter, and talking about this incredible man named Stephen. And it's the perfect story, the perfect message for Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day weekend is unique this year. It's very different. There are people out and about getting around barbecuing and doing different things as a traditional holiday has it. But today marks the 5th year since the floods, the first massive flood that we had in Memorial Day 2015, and then we had another one in the fall that same year. But for me and others that were here during that time, Memorial Day weekend just is always marked by that, and it's difficult to get through it. And then all the stuff going on with the world today, but with all that stuff, the flood and then coronavirus and barbecuing and being at the lake and swimming and all that, we don't want to forget what it's actually about. Memorial Day is honoring men and women that have given the ultimate sacrifice and have died in battle, died in the armed forces, serving us. And we don't want to forget that. There's people in our church that have gone through that and experienced the loss of a loved one in battle. And our heart goes out to you. And we want you to know that we're here for you as well, because the sacrifice is not just the person that loses their life, but their family, their wife, their husband, their kids, their parents. So it's a big deal. And so when we look at Acts 6 and 7, we see a story about someone who gave their life. And this guy was the nicest guy in the church. Stephen, everybody loves Stephen. If you just think about whoever that is at Promised Land, you just fill in the blank, whoever that guy is, whoever that woman is, that's who Stephen was. Stephen was the nicest guy. Everybody loved him. Everybody was friendly with Stephen. And he was their missions pastor. He would go out and help people that needed food and distribute food across to the needy. And just a great guy. And not only was he a nice guy, but he was a powerful man. Acts 6 and 8 says, Stephen, a man full. Somebody say full.
Full.
Come on, say full.
Full. Some guys saying full.
Full.
Full. Yeah, you're saying that. I just can't hear you. Anyway, a man full of grace and power. Yeah. This theme keeps coming up every time we study a chapter in the book of Acts. We keep seeing people filled with God's power. He's full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. So he was the guy that everybody loved, but he was also a guy that was very, very in tune with the Lord and filled with the presence of God. And the place that he would go minister a lot of times was the synagogue, or the place further out from the center of Jerusalem where the foreigners would come. And so people from Asia or Africa or other places beyond Israel would come to these foreign synagogues, and that's where Stephen would go and preach and teach and do his thing. So there was obviously the Israelites that were, or the Jews that were from Israel and in the bloodline of the Israelites, and then there were Jews that came from other places, the foreigners that became converts to Judaism. And so that's who Stephen was going to talk to. Well, he was a part of this new sect of Christianity. And so he was helping Jews and other people come to know Jesus. So he would go into the synagogue to these foreign places and talk about Jesus. And while he was there, some of them got upset and they betrayed him and they began to lie about him. They went to the elders of the church and said, this guy Stephen is over here speaking, and he's saying things that are not true about Moses and God. Well, this really upset the elders, and so they called Stephen in, And they said, what's going on? You're saying stuff that's not true about Moses and God, so what's the deal? And they began to accuse him of treason, but they give him a chance to speak. And so right as he begins to speak, something really amazing happens, Acts 6:15. At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. That's powerful. It just began to glow. It was amazing. It was crazy. It was supernatural. So Stephen at that point begins to walk through Jewish history to everybody there, to the elders that have gathered, to anybody that's watching. He begins to go through and he starts at the very beginning with Abraham, the very first Jew. And he begins to walk through Jewish history. And as he gives each account of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and he just keeps walking through, he gets to Moses. And with every step of his story, it fits their narrative. There's nothing about what Stephen says that they would disagree with. And so I'm sure they're thinking, okay, well, what's going on here? You know, there's nothing in error. And just as he gets to the prophets, you know, beyond Moses and beyond the kings, and he starts talking about Isaiah and Jeremiah, he begins to talk about them. Then all of a sudden, he turns on the gas a little bit, and he begins to say something that begins to offend the elders. He says, the Jews have killed all of them. All of the prophets have been killed. And he goes so far as to say, Jesus, this amazing prophet, you have killed him. Well, at this point, all of a sudden, they're, you know, what's wrong with this guy? Attitude changes, and now they understand, okay, this guy is messed up. They start getting mad. They start getting angry. And this is something I think you should realize, is that Stephen didn't have to say that stuff. He could have just stopped when he got to Moses, and they'd have been like, okay, great, you know, well, go along. But he didn't stop. He just kept going because he felt like he was there given the platform, given the opportunity to speak. And his main critique of these elders, these religious leaders, is that they are resisting the Holy Spirit. Instead of welcoming the move of God and desiring for God to flow in their life and change their life and move in their mind and change their mind, these religious leaders were so staunch about what it should be, you know, a certain way. And Stephen says, this is your problem. You're just so stuck in your ways. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. And he boldly confronts this idea of them being closed off to the move of God. And he accuses them of killing Jesus. And they're furious. They're so mad. They're so upset. They're just fuming. And then look what happens next. Acts 7:55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Again, the writer wants to keep telling us he's full of the Holy Spirit. Because I think what's important here is that what you're about to see, what you're about to read is impossible if you're not full of the Holy Spirit. That's really what's happening here. But Stephen, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he saw this amazing vision of heaven and Jesus, and Jesus in this place of authority. He says, oh, this is so... He could have just seen it and not said anything. But Stephen's on a roll. And Stephen begins to tell them what he's seeing. Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man, the one you just killed, the Son of Man is standing in the place of honor at God's right hand! Exclamation point. Yeah! At this point, Stephen knows what his earthly fate is going to be. He knows he's going to die today. He knows it. But this is what I think we can grasp from this story. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, self-preservation is not the ultimate goal. He knows that he's going to die. But here's the truth. Stephen died a long time before this day. You don't get to this day and become a martyr because you've built a name for yourself or trying to prove yourself or make people like you or, you know, all those things. That's not the case. Stephen actually died to himself. The person that would try to defend himself or earn a name for himself, that died. He's already gone. And now there is this humble man who is filled with the presence of God, saying bold things to people that are never going to believe him, never going to like him, never going to say, oh, you're such a great man, Stephen. We want to be more like you. They're never going to say that. And he doesn't back down. He doesn't cower in fear. So today we're honoring people, Memorial Day, for that reason. The reason we honor people on Memorial Day is because they died for something that was greater than their life, their individual thing. There was a purpose, whether it's freedom, the culture, America, whatever the cause is that people would choose to lay down their life for, we honor that boldness. But really, it is more than boldness, it's humility. It's saying, I personally am not more important than the whole. That's what Stephen was saying about this great cause for God, that myself, my own life, is not greater than the cause that I am fighting for, that I'm trying to defend, that I'm trying to prove. And so I hope this challenges all of us today. Most of us will not have to give our lives physically for the cause of Christ. I don't think. Most of us won't have to do that. We won't have to be martyrs. I don't think. So let's not think about that level. But how about this? How about instead of living our life for ourselves, what if we were so filled with the presence of God in our life and our being, that it changed the way we lived our life, that it converted our actions, the way we talk, the way we treat others. And instead of saying, well, I'm going to give my life for Jesus, I'll go to the death for Jesus, instead of trying to make that bold claim, how about you just change the way you love your neighbor? Right? Good, Pastor. That's good. That's good. How would your life change? I want you to think about how much effort we put in to making sure people accept us and like us and believe in us and trust in us and our persona, our identity. And I'm talking about mainstream Christians. I'm talking about Americans. We spend so much of our effort trying to prove a point, trying to defend a political party or politician or ideology about this is the way it should be. No, this is the way it should be. Being so bold about the way it should be. Do y'all need me to go into more details about things and people in recent times about boldness? And we get so worked up about things because we're trying to convince people to join our team. There's really this team atmosphere of this is who I am. This is my identity. This is my political party. This is my race. This is my gender. This is my whatever. We have all these things that identify us as certain things. And then when people are on our team, like, oh, that's awesome, yeah. But then when we get a sense that they're not on our team, we're either fighting with them or we're trying to convince them to join our team. And this coronavirus thing was very much not that case for the first few weeks, and then all of a sudden we picked teams, and then it was like, oh, you're on that team, oh, I'm on that team, I'm on the mask team, I'm on the not mask team, I'm on the go places team, I'm on the not go places team. Like, there's all this, we're just like, oh. And if you're gonna follow Jesus, if you're gonna follow Stephen, that's not what it's about. It's laying down, kill me. There's a better cause. And so instead of trying to defend all these earthly things, humanistic things and even living a life, there's something about Memorial Day weekend that takes our mind from the temporal to the eternal, from things that can be lost to things that will never be lost. So we're going to, how about we were so intoxicated with Jesus and filled with the love and the peace of Jesus, we're not worried about preserving ourselves, we're not worried about preserving our name, but we're more preoccupied with just talking about the love of Jesus and standing for justice and standing for people to know Jesus and standing for life and standing for the things of Jesus. Holy Spirit, look what happens next. Acts 7:57. Then they, the elders, put their hands over their ears and begin shouting, like, blah, 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 we don't want to hear you, Stephen. Ah, they're just freaking out because they can't believe that he's being so blasphemous. They rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And we're going to get to him in a couple weeks. But here's a really good part. Acts 7:59. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. Do y'all remember somebody else that said something like that? Jesus on the cross says both of those things. He says, don't let these soldiers be accountable for this. Don't charge them with this. Such humility. Such a place of surrender and death to self that he's not even offended at the people that are killing him. He doesn't hold it against them. Why? Because they don't believe in Jesus. And if they don't believe in Jesus, there's no expectation for them to act like they believe in Jesus. And he is so dead to himself that he doesn't even crave for their approval, or he has zero offense at them hurling not just, you know, disapproval on Facebook about him or his ideologies or anything. They're throwing stones at him. They are physically hurting him, and he is such at a place of surrender and humility that he says, I'm not even offended at these people. They shouldn't even have this charged against them. And then look at that last little sentence there. And with that, he fell asleep. And, you know, when I read this in several different interpretations, I saw that first, and then I read other translations of the Bible. And other translations you might read say, he died. And so I was really wondering, like, what really, how did that happen? And I went back at the original Greek and read it, and the original Greek doesn't say that he died, although he did die. It says he fell asleep. And so I really believe that God put an anesthesia on him as he began to lose his life, and that he didn't feel the brutality of that execution. And it's just an amazing, amazing story that happened. With this act of boldness and humility, you may never have thought that you could be bold and humble at the same time, but that's Stephen. It's just an incredible story. He has boldness. I don't care about my own preservation. I'm giving it all to Jesus. And he goes numb and falls asleep. He's stoned to death. And he obviously went into that execution without knowing that he was going to fall asleep or be numb. So how could he do that? How could he go into that execution not knowing that and be okay with it? And the answer is just the same answer I keep telling you. He was filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with that Spirit, it allows you to do things like that. I want to read to you the next couple verses, Acts 8 and 1. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Just keep that scripture up for a second. A great wave of persecution began that day. Now, Stephen was not the last person persecuted. He was the first one. And when he was persecuted, it began a wave of persecution that spread out across all the believers. And when that happened, they began to scatter across the land. And leaving Jerusalem, the apostles hunkered down in Jerusalem to maintain the church there, and everybody else just took off. If you would read that verse, that's so heavy, that's seemingly depressing. But Acts 8 and 4 starts with but. Now this is a good but. Last week we had a bad but. This is a good but. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Isn't that awesome? The devil said, oh, we got them now. We're going to spread them out across the world. And God says, all right, go ahead, spread them across the world. All they're going to do is tell people about me. How awesome is that? Turning a persecution into a blessing. Turning a curse into a blessing. I want you to remember what Jesus said in the first chapter of Acts. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Where? Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then you go fast forward to chapter 8, and where do they go? They went from Jerusalem to Judea and to Samaria, and then this baton is passed from Stephen to Saul. I talked about, you know, we briefly saw his name. A baton is passed, and Saul takes it to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we're sitting in this place. And those of you that are watching online right now are watching online because of what happened to Stephen. We would not be here today if Stephen hadn't given his life. The church is birthed today out of a crisis, is birthed out of the martyrdom of Stephen, because they would not have been scattered. They would have been hunkered down. They would have done all these, you know, trying to preserve themselves. But this amazing man lays down his life, and the church is scattered, and that scattering became the evangelism of the world. And so I think it's cool just to stop here today and honor Stephen for a second, you know. Happy Memorial Day. We're honoring Stephen. Obviously, Jesus martyred his life. Jesus gave his life so that we would be here today. And if you're watching online or in the building and you are yet to have a relationship with Jesus, you don't really know him personally, I want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus right now. Jesus willingly went to his death, taking on the sins of our humanity, our brokenness, and he is offering us a deal today. If you'll trust in him, if you'll believe that he did that for you, then he's going to trade what he deserves for what we deserve. And we deserve death. We deserve separation from God. Every one of us do, because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory and perfection. But Jesus lived a righteous life. He lived a glorious life without error, sin, or any mistake. And Jesus earned eternity forever and ever. He earned that. He followed the law. Jesus earned eternity forever. And so Jesus says, I'll trade my eternity with God forever and ever, and I'll take your death and punishment. That's a pretty good deal. And so let's take that deal. If you're ready to take that deal, that's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus died, was because that's where we belong. But he did that for us. If you trust in him, you put your trust in his name and what he did, he gives us that free gift of forgiveness and salvation. And he wants to fill you with his Spirit. Fill you with the Spirit. We know that the Spirit leads men to repentance. That's what the Bible says. We know that the Spirit of God is around us. He's always, God is in all places at all times. We feel emotional. We feel a touch of the Spirit. We know that the Spirit leads us. But we want to be filled with the Spirit. We want a baptism of the Spirit. And so I'm going to keep beating that drum and hoping that people get a hunger for it and a thirst for the Spirit of the Lord. A hunger and a thirst for a life that's beyond what we read on the internet. A hunger and a thirst for a life that is eternal and not temporal. A hunger for a life that is not so caught up in the petty ugliness of y'all know what I'm talking about. Instead of something greater than ourselves. Something so great that we would lay down our lives now and humbly submit our life to Him now so that we could take on something greater, which is His work and His way. So if you don't mind, would you just stand to your feet just for another moment? We're going to pray right now and then we're going to dismiss. But I want us to pray and I want us, there's something about, you know, movement that's helpful. So those of you that are at home, you can stand up on, you know, there in front of your couch or off the dining room table, wherever you are. Let's just stand together right now. And I'm going to pray, and you can pray the words I say, or you can say them in your own words, but we're going to humble ourselves before God and just let's center ourselves around Jesus right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I put my life in your hands. I center my life around you. I'm tired of centering myself and putting my life in the hands of everybody else. I'm tired of having my life in my own hands. I'm tired of longing for someone's approval that I'll never get. I'm tired of trying to fit in with people that don't even care about me. Forgive me, God, for getting in my own way. Forgive me, Lord, please. Trying to earn this thing or prove this thing. God, forgive me. I lay that down. I lay down that striving today. I lay it down. In Jesus' name, I hand you my life. I hand you my troubles, my wins, my losses, my hurt. All those things that I'm good at, that I've acquired, that I've earned, I hand those over to you as well. Give everything to you. I just pray, Lord, would you forgive me? I humble myself before you. I repent before you. Would you forgive me of my sin today? I need help. And I'm looking to you, Jesus. I believe that you're the way. You haven't come to condemn me or rebuke me or cast me down. But instead, I believe, Jesus, that you've come to welcome me today. And I want to step into this relationship with you. Would you just, in your own words right now, say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I want to be with you from this day forward. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like or how that's going to go, but I take a step of faith on this journey. In Jesus' name, fill us right now, God, with your Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Lord. May we be a conduit. May we be a vessel that is filled with your Holy Spirit, God. Flow through us. Give us your peace and your love and your joy and your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control, your patience. God, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Come on, clap your hands right now. Yeah. Oh, man. For those of you that are online, we love you so much. And we're going to hop offline right now. We will see you here next week, online or in person. Everybody that's in.